Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll just read a few verses here. Starting at verse. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And as we're going through this, it's just good for us to understand that Paul has given us a lot of instruction for just how to maintain our Christian stand, certain things that you have to do as a believer in order to be an overcomer. You know, you just things that you need to avoid, some things you just need to cut out, amen, of your life in order to maintain victory. So Paul's given us this, I like to call it, just practical instruction here. And verse 11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This last verse I want to read here tonight, verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. So I have some key statements here that I would like to bring in. I'm at slide 17. And says, Isaiah was the light of his day. Noah was the light of his day. Why? He had the word manifested in the gospel. The Bible word for this day is the light of the day. And, you know, anytime I run into that particular quote, I'm always thinking, you know, that thought could just kind of keep going. Isaiah been the light of his day. Noah been the light of his day. Jeremiah been the light of his day. Daniel been the light of his day. You know, and, all the way down to, you know, Jesus being the light of every day. and then from there, Paul being the light of his day, Irenaeus being the light of his day, you know, Luther, Wesley, Martin, all of these different messengers, you know, that have come along. Even Brother Branham being the light for the day, but now none of those people are here, but we're all here, and we have become the light for the day. Amen. The manifested word dwelling inside of us. This next statement says, so we must be like him. Be careful what we do, what we say, what we do in our daily life. Because we are sponsored by Christ, how ought we to walk if we're sponsored by Christ? Amen. Another statement here says, be determined to stay with his word and what it's promised, like others elected did in the other day. So that has got to be our determination, regardless of what anybody else does, regardless of what people think, regardless of what they say, stay with the word. Amen. And the story just comes to my mind of when Jesus said, lest you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And when he preached that sermon, it caused a big split in the church. And actually, the majority of the church left. It got down to 12 people. And I mean, I'm talking about preachers left after that sermon. People that Jesus ordained to preach the gospel got up and left and said, "We can't take no more after this. This is just that. This is it." They didn't. Here's the other problem to this. They didn't even give him a chance to explain himself. They just come to the conclusion that we're leaving. So they left, got down to 12 people in the church. And Jesus looks at the 12 people and he asks the question, "Will you also go?" And Peter, with probably the greatest thing that could be said, he says, "To whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life," right? And what that tells me is that Peter was determined to stay with the word, right? He couldn't explain it. He didn't understand it. He didn't understand what Jesus said. There was nobody in that service that would have understood what Jesus said. None of them. But rather than just decide to be like the rest of the people, he said, "I'm going to just stay with this because I don't know nothing else. This is the best thing that done happened to me, and I ain't going nowhere. So I'm sorry I can't explain one sermon. But what about all the other sermons? What about all the fish? What about all the bread? What about, I was healed? You know, what about these other testimonies that there? So I'm not going to leave just on one sermon. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay right here with this word." And we got to have the same determination. Stay with the word, was promised, like others elected in others. In other days. Amen. All right. This statement says, if the church were truly spiritually rich, its influence would be felt upon community life. Amen. If the church truly was spiritually rich, its influence would be felt upon community life. All right. Another statement, to be asleep is not to be dead. These are sleeping amongst the dead. They are out there in the dead denominations. They are floating along with them. God cries out, "Wake up, wake up!" And I just love that the way Brother Branham explains that scripture there in Ephesians 5:14. Next statement says, "And we are not redeeming the time, but we're giving it to things of the world instead of our time to the Lord Jesus." Amen. We're giving it to the things of the world rather than giving it to the Lord Jesus. All right. I am moving to slide 20. And tonight, our focus is on this verse in Ephesians 5. It's verse 16. But this we'll go back to verse 14 and kind of walk our way into it. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light." And that's that little statement that I just made. The key statement was focused on that verse. But Brother Branham said this is talking to they are believers. They are God's children that are inside denominations, yielding their talents, giving their money, giving their time, all of that. And God is crying out to them, "Wake up, right? Arise from the dead. Come out of that situation." That's what God is saying. There's a direct scripture for people that's in that situation. So we pray that they will hear the voice. Verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." When you're walking circumspectly, you're careful with everything you do. You have to do that. You only want to do things that is pleasing to God. Amen. You know, there was a time where the way that we used to live is that we thought Jesus was coming tomorrow, right? We thought, so we had to have our life in order. We had to be ready at all times. We did that. They used to sing songs, "We don't want to be caught with your work undone," right? So there were things that we did to make sure that we were ready. We lived on the edge, right? And it's unfortunate that since the Lord has delayed his coming, it just seemed like we get a little bit more relaxed. Amen. And what we do and things we get involved, we get a little bit more relaxed. But no, we got to realize Jesus is coming soon. And we want to be ready when he comes. We want to be ready. We're closer today than we were, than we've ever been before. And if he don't come tonight, he'll be here tomorrow. We got to live like that. Right? Live in a way that's pleasing to God. This verse here in verse 16 says, redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. We're focusing on this tonight. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's a little statement on that quote. I mean, a little quote here on this slide. It says, but we have found Jesus always about the Father's business. I love that, and that's the way we should be. We should never be idle in our time. What time we have, we must spend it for and conserve the time, redeem it because it's precious. Every time we get a chance to put in a plug for Jesus, do it. Every time you get a chance to just put in a plug for Jesus. My God, sometimes folk get tired of you plugging for Jesus. But if they knew what you knew, then they would understand why you do what you do. All right? But every time you get a chance to put a plug in for Jesus, just do it. Just do it. I was reading my other Bible and just, it had some notes, my study Bible, and when they looked at the scripture and it said redeeming the time, it's another other words, it's make the most of every opportunity. That's redeeming the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Contextually, the specific opportunity in view is that of exposing the sins of the lost and being a witness to them. So you're redeeming the time. We connect with lost people every day. So we ought to look for opportunities to share Christ with them. Amen. Expose their sins. Amen. And you know, and nowadays people don't want their sins exposed. They'll be the first to tell you, don't judge me. And they scream it out, don't judge me. But here's what they, and I think a really good comeback, that, okay, I won't, but you know the word of God is. You know the word of God is, and you will stand before God one day. What you going to say then? If you can't tell him, don't judge me. You ain't going to be able to say that to God. Now, you can say that to me, but you ain't going to be able to say that to God. Don't judge me. You better, if you got any conviction, you better be sensitive to that. Get your life right. Man, they say here, it's contextually specific opportunity of view is that of exposing the sins of the lost and being a witness to them because the days are evil. And that's another thing I'll say, being a witness to them, being a witness to them. A witness to them is not just what you say with your mouth. It's the life that you live in their presence. Amen. Amen. We done had many people in days gone by, man, they telling y'all, you know, about Jesus and all this and all that. Next thing, they let curse words fly from their mouth like crazy. I mean, who want to hear something like that? They ain't got no, that their testimony has been discredited. All right? So live that life before people. And then that actually gives you an opportunity to be able to say something to them. Amen. It says, the days are evil, signs a reason to seize each opportunity. It is because that the sins that are being committed during these days are so evil. All right. In my Greek lexicon, just looking at it, this word redeem comes from the word exagorizo. And it means to buy up. To buy up for oneself, one's use, to make wise and sacred use of every opportunity for doing good, so that zeal and well-doing are, as it were, the purchase money by which we make the time our own. So it's like they're saying redeem the time, like buy that time. Buy it, you know. Anytime you're typically when you're spending your money to buy something, it's precious to you. It means something to you. It's something that you want. And they're saying, buy up the time. I mean, it's you ain't gonna, you once they say time is once it's gone, you'll never get it back. right? So buy it up, redeem it, take advantage of it. You know, the time that God gives you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 4, there's a couple scriptures here that refer to this Ephesians 5:16. Actually, it's Colossians 4 and verse, I'm going to start at verse 1, but really the scriptures that it's Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6, but let's just start at verse 1. The Bible says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Amen. Praise God. You got to watch how you treat people, right? Verse 2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We'll talk about that on Sunday, how you have to water your promises with your praises. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, praying for an opportunity to be able to speak about Christ to somebody. Amen. And that's something that we should always be looking to do. Lord, give me an open door and help me to feel your spirit when you're nudging me to kind of say something. Always just give me that open door to say something, Lord. You know, and verse 4 says that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. And I like that. So when you're witnessing the people, you got to walk in wisdom. Praise God. You got to use wisdom when you're dealing. And everybody can be approached the same way. Right? You got to know that. You know, remember Brother Branham making the statement, say, if a man sell cars, start talking to him about cars. Talking to them about how to use cars and then how, you know, man, cars can be used to take people from meeting to meeting. And right there, you know, you got an opportunity to say something about God, right? But learn where they at and then try to talk to them about right where they at. Tie Christ right into that. Praise the Lord, right? But we got to use wisdom. I think sometimes we done forced it on people, and that's why they rejected it. Amen. We don't try to force this gospel. And I like to say it like this. Nobody forced it on you. Nobody made you do this. All right? Somebody just presented it to you, and you made a decision. Amen. Glory to God. Right? But just be wise in how we present the gospel to people. Verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And look at verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. You can't be angry trying to get nobody to Jesus. Can't be fussing and fighting trying to get somebody to Jesus. But let your speech be always with grace. And look at what next portion of the verse, season with salt. And there's so much that can be said there. Even when you eat your food, you like to have good seasonings. You like to have good seasoning, right? Otherwise, it just don't taste right. Amen. And salt is actually a preserver, right? When it comes to food, salt certainly sometimes add a little flavor, but it can also is a preserver. So when you're seasoning something with salt, amen. Preserve that conversation that you have an opportunity to come back and talk a little bit more about it later. You understand? Yeah. Season it with salt. Because, I mean, if you say it right, you handle it right, you use wisdom, now you've opened a door that somebody might want to talk to you about that a little bit later. You know, we were over there. Let me finish this. Season salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. While we were on our little trip, we had a excursion to the Vatican, and you know, as we were, you know, we want to go and see what this is all about. We read about it in the Bible, so we want to read, we want to go see this. So we went, and the lady that was there to take us, she was taking us all around and just showing us everything. And then, you know, she kind of come towards the end, and she said, "You want to see Peter's grave?" And I just said, yeah, we'll go see it. And she's like, "What?" I said, "Let's just go see it." She walked us by. "Here it is, right here, Peter's grave." I said, She said, "You don't believe Peter was here?" I said, "I don't believe it. He was never here in Rome. Paul was, but Peter never came to Rome." And she's like, "Oh," she's just going on and on. And then we got to talking a little bit more. And at the end, she said, "So that's just what you believe from the Bible." I said, "Well, that's because that's where this all originated from. It's from the Bible, right?" And she's like, "Well, maybe next time we can talk a little bit more about it." There was an open door for me to have more conversation about it, right? And it's all in the way that you handle things. She asked me now. She asked me, "Did I believe?" I said, "No, I don't." "You asked me, so no, I don't. And I'll tell you why I don't believe." But you handle people a certain way, it leaves an open door for you to come back and share a little bit. And maybe she might go away from that, to like thinking about that a little bit more. Like, I wonder why that fella didn't fall for that. She even confessed she was not a good Catholic. So I know she wasn't Catholic. But you just never know. Here, let's. I got a few quotes here that I want to read on this slide 20. Out of the Sermon of the Great Commission, the prophet makes a statement. It says, "Blessed Heavenly Father, in thy presence we feel our need. As we read the sacred writings of this book, and we feel our great need of a living Christ in the day of skeptics. Thou hast foreseen this and noted, for you said the day would come when they'd be heady, high-minded, love pleasure more than God, and have a form of godliness, but would deny the power thereof. Thou also said, I will not leave you comforts. I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. A little while, and the world will see me no more, yet you shall see me, for I, personal pronoun, I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the age. We most humbly accept that and believe it to be a real truth of God. And Lord, seeing that the day is far spent and the evening lights are shining, O Lord, let us now hasten quickly. Let us redeem the time. Let us be up and doing to make every effort that we can to see that every soul is saved, that's been ordained of God to be saved. And as we stand here, feeling as fishermen, as thou hast said, the kingdom of God is like unto a man that took a net, went to the sea, cast it in, and drew all kinds. As we want to fish on this corner, when we throw the gospel net, may it catch every fish, Lord, for the kingdom granted, Lord. Let us have favor in thy sight, and we know we will receive it, because Jesus has told us to ask the Father anything in my name, and I will do it. And we believe it and wait for your blessings as humble children. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. So this prayer that he's praying, and just in the prayer, he's saying we got to redeem the time. Throw the net out. Just throw the net out. Throw the net out. You don't know what you're going to catch. Sometimes you catch good fish. Sometimes you catch stuff that you got to throw back in, right? But you still got to throw the net out. Oftentimes we like to hide behind the scripture that it says don't cast your pearls before swine. I agree with that, but you do have to cast some pearls, right? I agree with don't cast your pearls before swine, but you do need to cast some pearls, right? You need to find somebody you can witness to. But the random even made the statement, says when we get to heaven. Get to heaven, and you see a halo hanging over a person's head. When you see that halo hanging there, you realize you had something to do with it. You talked to him about Christ. You witnessed to him about Christ. And because of some of the things you said, they're here, right? Amen. So you wanna cast some pearls. You wanna get them out there some kind of way. And I think when we cast a person with swine, we know when somebody done locked up on us and they don't want to hear no more. Don't force nothing on them. Let me tell you something. They're going to come to a point in their life, trials going to bring them to a certain point where they'll be calling you again. They'll be looking for you again. Amen. Praise God. God know how to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. This next quote comes out of his wonders to perform. The prophet says, "Oh, friend, I hope the little lady doesn't take this too personally, but it's my daughter-in-law who's sitting present now. This has been the greatest week of her life. Last evening, while we were sitting together waiting for Billy to bring the car back in the lobby of the hotel, and on the ballroom floor, they were having a rock and roll or some kind of amusing dance. And little children, little boys, no more than 12 years old or less, smoking cigarettes. Little girls and a little lady looked at me and she said, 'Billy, pray for me.' All week over in her room, I've heard her singing songs. I heard her singing last evening before she went to church. My favorite song, 'Down from His Glory.' She started reading the Bible. She's pretty near read the Bible through this week. You go to singing hymns, you start reading the Bible, and that stranger will appear to you." I like that. "You go to singing hymns, you start reading the Bible, and that stranger will appear to you too. It says, meditate on His word. It was while those who went to Emmaus along the road began to talk about Him that He stepped out of the bushes and walked with them through the day. The reason we don't have the spiritual blessings, we have too much time to watch television, too much time to read the newspapers or listen to something that we ought not to be listening to. And we're not redeeming the time, but we're giving it to the things of the world instead of our time to the Lord Jesus." And the prophet is directly spot on with that statement. So much stuff take up our time. Now, you know, Brother Branham would, you know, use words like television in his day and newspaper and radio and things like that. He didn't live to see social media. Social media will eat your time up. And this, you all will hear artificial intelligence. I remember when I was in college, they were talking about that, and I told my teacher, "Say, that's crazy. No, I don't believe that. That man was right." He was trying to tell me that when you go to certain websites, the artificial intelligence will recommend other things for you to go to. You clicked on this before, okay, I got something else for you to see. And then I got something else for you. And then I got something else for you to see. You watch a reel on social media, and you know just maybe one church service, a portion of church service with people shouting. They got somebody else that's shouting. And they got somebody else that's shouting. And next thing you know, all your time taken up. It's the truth anyhow. We all fight it in some way or the other. Praise the Lord. If it's a sale that they told you that's on. And you get to that store and they ain't got what you want. But it's another one way down there somewhere. And you get in your car and you ride on down there. Come on now. Amen. Redeem the time. Redeeming the time. We're giving it to the things of the world instead of our time to the Lord Jesus. The Bible said that a man should not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Christians live on the word. This next quote is coming from the message, Only Believe. It says Jesus had just been turned down from a great revival. He was always about the Father's business. I like that. Me, myself, I have so much time that I think I foolishly use. Now, that's the prophet talking about his time. I know I got time that I foolishly use. And all of us feel that way. We get so wound up till we've got to go somewhere and unwind. But we found Jesus always about the Father's business. I love that. And that's the way we should be. That's the way we should be. Always about the Father's business. See, we should never be idle in our time. What time we have, we must spend it for and conserve the time, redeem it, because it is precious. Every time we get a chance to put in a plug for Jesus, do it. Every time we get to put in a plug for God, do it. Do something for the church and for the embetterment of people. Do something for the church and for the embetterment of people. many people, that's how we come to know these things, is by what somebody told us. Oh, I just like that. Do something for the church and for the betterment of people. Actually, just something for the Lord. That's going to help your fellow man along the way. There's a statement that I love. Brother Branham says, always have God first, others second, and then yourself last. If you just keep it in that order, always put God first, others second, and then yourself last. He always, that's the life of service. That's kind of what Christ did. It was always about trying to better somebody else. I'm going to tell you, when you make a difference in somebody else's life, it will make a difference in your life. Amen. Then you get to a certain point in your Christian walk that you're not just trying to make a difference for your friends. You'll even make a difference in the life of your enemy. Amen. That's when you really become a Christian. When you start thinking about your enemies. Ooh. Jesus prayed for them on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's Christianity. All right. I want to pick up another scripture here that we are familiar with. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. This is the story of the foolish virgins. And again, you have to redeem the time. They did not take advantage of the time that they had. These foolish virgins didn't take advantage of it. Here, Matthew 25. All right. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now they should have did that earlier. They didn't. They didn't redeem the time. Right? It says, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door shut. Man, too late. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. All right, so these, they had time to do things right. They had time, but they didn't. Chose not to. They were what we call foolish virgins. And we never want to get caught in a situation like that. While we have time, while God's given us time, we want to take advantage of it. We want to redeem it. And we're doing this. The time that we're redeeming is the time that we can use to serve God, to better somebody else's life, and to get closer to Him. That's what this is all about. We don't know when Jesus is going to come. Say when you live like that, there's certain places you just can't go. Certain people just can't hang with. I mean, Jesus could be coming, and I don't want to be caught in the wrong situation. I just don't want that. So, you redeem the time. Every day is a day where you redeem the time. Amen. You're sensitive to that. This other state quote here out of the message: sudden secret going away of the church. Brother Branham's going to kind of talk about these virgins here. He says, signs are appearing, Jesus is coming, and great wonders are being done. Every milepost is pointing towards his soon appearing. And it'll happen in a moment. How are we standing this morning as we take inventory? I'll say how we're standing tonight as we take inventory. If we should be spoke to this morning, the Lord Jesus should descend from the heavens this morning with a shout, trump of God. Will we be found ready as a church body? Right? And this is a question that each person just kind of has to answer for themselves. Would I be found ready? If Jesus came in the morning, would I be ready? Came tonight, would I be ready? That's the way we used to live. We live like that all the time. I mean, we want to know, we want to be sure that we were ready. And I would say like that, you got to live ready. You got to live ready. Amen. And you should never be at a spot where you can't answer that question. If Jesus were to come, would I be ready? Yes, I'm ready. Ready. You want to live like that with a confidence that you're doing everything you can to please God. He says, will we be found ready as individuals to join with those who are raised from the dead, who have proven themselves ready? No matter whether we are ready or not, the Lord Jesus will come just the same at the point of time. We must be ready. We must do it now. No time to wait. We must redeem the time and be ready. You know, my grandson is getting into this peekaboo game. And we all played it when we were kids, and you know, yet somebody had to count to whatever, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, and everybody go running and hide and seek. Yeah, and everybody go running and hide, and when you get to the end of that last Mississippi, ready or not, here I come. And now the problem is that you can hear the Mississippis. You can hear it. So you knew what you needed to do. Before you run back to base or whatever, you try to get there before they got you. But you could hear all the Mississippis, so you knew what was what. But when Jesus coming, you can't hear no Mississippis. You got to be ready. You know, you hear that last Mississippi, you just duck down here real quick, and you, they done turn their back somewhere, so you get on the other side of them, you touch the base. Now, you can't be doing that with the Lord Jesus. You don't know when he's going to come, so you have to live ready. Daily, you live ready. When I go to work, I'm ready. When I go to school, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Some of young people, they go to school, they leave the house dressed one way, when they go to school dressed a whole nother way. So you ain't ready. If Jesus came back, you wouldn't be ready. All right? You can't live like that. Live ready all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want you young people to know, peer pressure will be with you all your life. Peer pressure. I'm a pastor, and I still got to fight peer pressure. I got to fight it, too. I like to play golf, and every guy I play golf with wears shorts. I don't. Peer pressure. And then when somebody come back, but how come you don't wear shorts? Does the Bible tell me not to? Where that's in the scripture? Right here, Deuteronomy 22. And, you know, they can't see what I see. But they're trying to pressure me. No, I'm trying to pressure you with this word. put on your pants. You're going to face peer pressure no matter what you do. If I go to the basketball court and play basketball in my long pants, people are going to have questions for me. Peer pressure. Right? So you're going to fight it. And it's best to overcome it now. Because if you overcome it now, you'll be able to overcome it the rest of your life. And eventually, that's what I mean. Especially when you get a job that, I thank God for the sisters that used to work in crossing guards. Man, they had to go out there cold as I don't know what with their skirts on. And people coming by and blowing horns at them. I know you cold. And got to stand there and be a light to them in the midst of all that darkness, right? Peer pressure, it's there all the time. It's there all the time. It's okay. Learn to overcome it as a young person. Because the older you get, it just won't matter. Then eventually people just leave you alone. They know you ain't going to do it. So just leave you alone. All right. Here he goes on and says, how many of you all perhaps have read of the virgins? Some were wise and some were foolish. Virgins means purity. They were all good people. Every one of them virgins, sanctified vessels of God. But those who had oil in their lamps went in. elders was left out. They were all virgins. Everyone, people that you couldn't put your finger on for anything wrong. Everyone believed in the coming of the Lord. They were ready to go meet him, but some of them let their oil go out. Don't let that be your case. Keep oiling your lamp. Oil is a spirit. The Holy Spirit, never let it drain from you. When you feel your love dying away, your sincerity to Christ and to the cause, quickly go to him who has the fountain of oil and buy for yourself a filling of the Holy Spirit. Our nation gone morally corrupted and ruined. Our politics corrupted and gone. And he's telling them but the truth. Our politics is gone and corrupted, right? It says, our politics corrupted and gone. Our leaders, oh God, what could we do about it? You can put a good man in it, and he comes out a crook. Put a good man in it, and he come out a crook. And boy, I tell you, the prophet is pinning it down. He is pinning it down, and it ain't nothing but the truth. You know, we got certain parties push certain agendas, other parties push other agendas. And really, it's just the party that's kind of controlling the man that's at the top. Praise the Lord. It was the party controlling what Obama released. The homosexual rights just took off when Obama was in there. It was the party that released that, all right? And then and it's the party that is pushing when Trump is in office and he goes and does all these great things with Israel. But it was the party that was pushing that. That man was not no, he wasn't no Christian, an example for us to be following. No, Trump was not that. And even some of the evangelical leaders, he confessed his sins. So he's a Christian. It's one thing to confess your sins, but it's another thing to keep sinning. We're not talking about just a confession. We talk about confession and stopping your sin. Amen. Realizing you're wrong and then stopping that. And letting the Holy Spirit give you strength to stop that. But, you know, this you know, we didn't have that. But no matter who they get or who they try to put in office, Brother Brown say they go in good man, but they come out crooks. And he ain't telling none but the truth. There's only one we can bring now. That's the Lord Jesus. Let's make ready for his coming. So I want to tell you a little story that I heard some years ago in the close. Sudden quick rapture of the church. And they say certain things will take place, then I will make ready. Certain things will take place. You know how many people wait for California to go under before they come back to church? You ain't gonna have that much time. And it could happen while you're sleeping. And you ain't going to know nothing about it. An hour's done gone by. You better get ready. You better get ready. You better live ready. He says a certain quick rapture of the church. Now you say certain things will take place and I will make ready. Make ready now. I've just related to you of Pearl Harbor and many places where they refused to hear the warning. They refused to listen to it. Nothing was left but divine judgment upon the people. Now all that will not go in Christ will be under God's wrath and divine judgment. Please don't let that happen to you. No matter what the Branham Tabernacle ever turns out to be, don't you let it be you. You be a servant of Christ. No matter what the church world does, you be a servant of Christ. It's not up to the Branham Tabernacle. Neither is it up to any other church. It's up to you as an individual to be ready at the coming of the Lord. You must be ready. I must be ready. I sweep my own steps. It's up to you to sweep your steps. Leave mine alone. Me leave yours alone. You got to make your garment ready. Let me just read this last quote here out of the Word Became Flesh. Seeing how we going down into a Catholic church over there, down there in Rome, and they wanted to take me to what they call the Bone Church. And their monks for hundreds of years, they taken up, put them in the ground down in the church, bury them. every church is a graveyard nearly. You talk about the Catholic Church, and they have a place called the Catacombs, where you see all these former people that was in the church. They bury them in the church. They got the same thing in the Vatican. Got coffins just laying out in the Vatican as you're walking through. I guess popes and all kind of stuff. You know, that was, they just got them in these coffins all over the place. Very, very expensive coffins, too. But Brother Branham's saying that, you know, what they call the bone church, and their monks for hundreds of years, they've taken, put them in the ground down in the church and buried them. Every church is a graveyard, nearly. And they get those fellas in there, and after they're in there so long, they go dig them up. After the flesh is rotted away into the dust, they dig them up. And they've made a room many, many times bigger than this, just out of human bones. How they made them and stacked them together, and on the corners where you walk down like this, skulls and everything, the light fixtures are made out of little pieces of the fingers and bones. The lights are made out of bones and everything. And there's the graves of others rotting away, a sign that, a sign thing and a very striking. Say, one time we were as you, and sometime you'll be as we. That's right. And only those who love God will ever have immortal life. That's true. And I noticed there were people coming through. Catholic religion is a whole lot on superstition and things. Some skulls of monks there had rubbed till they were right, till they were white. Some of them corroded over that deep, but the people were rubbing them, trying to get a blessing and things like that off the skulls of these monks. It only goes to show it's a human being, it's a heart, and they're hungering for something. And what Brother Branham is explaining, that if you ever get a chance to go, we went to different places, and you should see the Catholic people coming to the altar, kneeling down, and just in tears, just because they're in that spot. And you're trying to figure out why they feel the way they feel, you know. And I mean, and they're surrounded by all these dead things, but they're just in tears down. You know, it's their heart hungering for something. Brother, the religion of Jesus Christ doesn't consist of rubbing dead men's bones. It believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepting immortal life. Oh my. It says, but to think that is true, one time those men were, as we are here this morning, or tonight, they had their opportunity. We got ours. What are you going to do with it? Oh, make every ounce of it count for the Lord Jesus. Have no time for things of the world. Lay aside every sin, every weight. Lay aside every weight that does easily beset you. Let's run this race with patience that's set before us. Let's love the Lord Jesus. Be kind to one another. Be kind to your enemies. Love everybody. No matter what they've done, love them anyway. If you can't do that, brother, sister, if there ever was a time that you need at the altar, then when you come back, create. It says, and I recognized the other day a selfish spirit coming up in me of saying, this man's wrong. I ought to tell him about it. Now look at what he say. When you're rising up to go tell somebody about them being wrong, he said, actually, it's a selfish spirit coming on you. Lord, think about that. This man's wrong. I ought to tell him about it. That's wrong. God's the one to tell them about it. It's none of my business. My business is preach the gospel and love everybody and move on and love my enemies as Jesus Christ loved me when I was his enemy. That's right. When I was unlovely, he loved me to his bosom. And anybody that's unlovely, let me love them the same. Let the spirit that was in Christ be in us. Amen. I love them. I love them. Oh my. I think that's very wise counsel. That's being a Christian. When you can love your enemies, just like you love your friends. They said, Brother Branham's that type of person that you can even tell his enemies from his friends. We want to have that type of spirit. The spirit of God in us, but calls us to be like that. People wouldn't even know who our enemies are. Oh my. Let us redeem the time. days are evil. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it challenges us. We hear the prophet just crying out, Lord, for us to just be mindful of every opportunity we have to share the gospel. Anytime we can put a plug in to the Lord Jesus, we ought to. Realize, the Lord, that people are daily dying in sin, going to their great reward. Father, we want to try to make a difference in somebody's life. To, Lord, see them on the other side with a halo hanging over their head, knowing that we've had something to do with them making it. But let us be mindful. Let us be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Lord, to be able to kind of share the gospel with others. We are the light of this day, so let us take our light in the midst of darkness. And God, let us do things that would bring glory and honor to your Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just a few announcements that I'll give you for tonight. I have a birthday on Saturday. My daughter Sarah will be celebrating her birthday. Thank God for that. Amen. Also, Sunday morning, we'll be here for our prayer service from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. And then service will start at 10:30 a.m. And actually, on Sunday, we will have a guest minister, Brother Ancy. He's one of the ministers at Brother Gene's church there in Boynton Beach. And I've been talking to him about coming over and ministering for us. And I finally got him all situated. So he'll be here on Sunday morning preaching for us, Brother Ancy, one of the ministers from Brother Gene's. And Brother Gene has been so faithful. And any time that we take a minister over, they always open their doors. And then even lately, just kind of even open the doors for Brother Smiley to come and preach. So I want to return the favor and let some of his ministers come over to us and preach as well. So Brother Ancy be with us on Sunday morning. Streaming will continue through Twitter, Facebook, as well as our church website, john423.org. And we have an event here that those that had not heard, just wanted to make mention that Sister Betty Brown, you all remember Brother Homer Brown would come sometimes and preach for us. From St. Augustine, he was the, I guess, original pastor at Victory Tabernacle in St. Augustine, but now his son Keith Brown is a pastor. Brother Homer Brown passed away a few years ago, but Sister Betty Brown just passed away on Monday on the holiday there. She had been in the hospital there for a little bit, but the Lord called her home, and they're going to be having a service for her on Saturday. That's going to be June 3rd. A viewing from 9 to 10, and then the service starts at 10 a.m. They also have a visitation on Friday, June 2nd, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and that'll be at Victory Tabernacle there in St. Augustine. So just ask that you would just remember the family in your prayers, and Sister Brown has just been, she was a real jewel. I mean, a real jewel, and I mean, that was just one couple. You'd see them, you know, coming and going, and you just always appreciated, you know, seeing them, their love for the Lord and everything like that. So, but I'm planning to go and to support in the service on Saturday and everything. And you know, just if anyone else is able to go, I think it'd be a blessing. I talked to Brother Brown, and he was telling me, says, Mama and Daddy, they love y'all down there. And we love them too. You know, we really, really appreciate them. So looking forward to just going and supporting and being a part of the celebration of life. Man, I've actually I was asked to sing a song there in the program, and still praying about what to do. So y'all pray for me if we can do something to be a blessing to the family. Our giving is Cash App, Zelle, PayPal, as well as regular mail. Cash App is $SpiritandTruthT is our handle. Zelle, our email is giving@john423.org. And if you have to use PayPal, we discourage it because of the fee in the sanctuary. We have a box in the back of the church that you can use for your giving. Praise the Lord. Before we leave tonight, amen, I want to just give space for anyone that might have a quick testimony they want to share or a prayer request. Okay. Praise the Lord. I do have one praise report, amen, that I just want to share. And I want to thank the Lord. Tonight we'll be baptizing my brother Frelick. Amen. He wants to get baptized. So tonight we'll be baptizing him. And I just happen to see what the Lord is doing in his heart. He's telling everybody about what God is doing. And I think even on Monday we had one of his friends come to the picnic, Sean. And he told me he got another really good friend by the name of Malachi. Is that right? Can't wait to meet Malachi. But we thank God for what the Lord's doing. And I did want to say I thank everybody for the picnic. Sister Tina and Sister Verna, just kind of managing, you know, that process. It turned out to be very, very nice. Praise the Lord. I was very, very happy with how everything just kind of worked out. And just good to be able to get out there and have some fellowship together. God gave us wonderful weather, and we had a really, really nice turnout, amen, on that day. So we thank God for all things. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's bow in a word of prayer, and we'll prepare to dismiss. Father, we again thank you for bringing us, allowing us to come here tonight. And Lord, as we prepare to leave, we pray that you would go with us, that you would keep us with a mind state on you. Lord, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ask that you would just continue to keep our hearts. Lord, we also want to lift up the Brown family. Lord, in their loss, Sister Brown has received a great reward. And Father, what a precious jewel she was to many of us. And how we just appreciate the life that was lived before us, the faithfulness and service that was given. And Father, we just ask that you would just comfort and strengthen the family during this time. We would go and others would prepare to come just to be support to the family during this service. We trust, God, that you would just move by your Spirit in the midst of it, bringing us strength and comfort. And Lord, just everything you need. If there's any sinners that are present, God, may the right word be spoken that might bring conviction to their hearts and cause someone to turn towards you. God, you know the song that you want sang, and thank you for the opportunity to be able to go in and sing, Lord, on her program. But I pray, God, you just give us the right song that, Lord, you'll get glory from what is done. We ask that, Lord, you would keep us until we're able to come back together again on Sunday morning, and may you bless our going out as you blessed our coming. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Man, and again, we thank the Lord. We don't have to break down. We just leave it just like it is. Feel good to do that for the summer. God bless you.